Hello and welcome to Connectivity 230. I'm your host, Nicholas Bray, and today I'm joined by Neil Ronahan.
Hey, wow, 230?
That's 230.
That's a lot of episodes.
Indeed. Also, we have John Redden.
Hello.
And Andy Gergen.
Hello.
Right, so I've gathered everyone here today to talk about the Super Nintendo Classic Edition, along with John. What else are we going to talk about?
I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, Star Fox. We're going to talk about Star Fox. Yeah. I can't hold it in.
Star Fox 2.
Yeah, no, we're not just going to stop talking about Star Fox, because just talking about Star Fox feels like baby talk. But Star Fox 2, that's the realness.
Don't you ever refer to anything about Star Fox in any negative way again, Neil. I will stab you.
I will refer negatively to Star Fox Adventures until the day I die. But honestly, like everything else, like the worst I can say is like maybe there are parts of it that are bad. I think I pretty much have some enjoyment level with every other Star Fox except for Adventures.
It looks really good. It has good graphics.
The fur is nice. Yeah. The fur is really nice. Yeah. But then they do that fake out where like they do the thing that you should never do in a game where you're like, we've been building up this enemy for the entire game, and before you can fight him, they just kill him.
Plot twist.
Sorry, spoilers.
That's a plot twist.
Spoiler alert.
Did you guys know that Andross shows up at the end? Sorry. You don't need to play it now. I saved you all like 25 hours.
Hate to tell you this, but I didn't need to play it before that. I played it for Cube Fight, and that was enough.
Yeah.
So, going back to the Super Nintendo, for example, so it was long rumored that Nintendo was going to do a Super Nintendo Mini or Classic Edition, and they finally announced it a few days ago or last week. I can't even remember.
Monday.
Yep. You know, kind of sooner than I thought they like might. I was expecting maybe announcement like in late July or early August or something.
I think that's when the NES Classic.
Yeah, that's sort of when that one dropped. Yeah,
but also, it follows in the long line of traditions of Nintendo having E3 and then like announcing something major like 2 weeks after it. Like they did that, I think, with the 3DS XL back in like 2012 or whatever. But also, I could see this being announced a little earlier because it's coming out a month and a half earlier than the NES Classic.
Yeah, yeah, which is really cool. It's coming out September 30th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it's like different in different regions.
Yeah, I think it's the 29th for you guys.
Yeah, it's 30th, I think yeah. The 29th is the earliest date that it's coming out. I know it's coming out in Japan like a few days later. I know the Japan release date's in October.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited for this thing. I'm really, really excited for it, even if it's going to be probably hard to find. But we'll talk more about that soon.
I don't know. They said they've ramped up production compared to the NES Classic, which was like woefully sort of underproduced.
But you could
for its entire existence, really.
You could ramp up production a long way before you would be easy to find compared to the NES Classic.
Yeah.
Nintendo says lots of things.
Well, I saw someone say France is getting like 160,000 units, and they got like 80,000 of the NES Classic.
There was that thing circulating around. Mm. I mean, we don't know the veracity of that France thing. But yeah, they were saying 160,000 Super NES Classics at launch. And I think the numbers were something around like sub 100,000 for the NES Classic at launch, and for Switch at launch, they only had like 110,000. So that's a lot more Super NES Classic than I think that, I mean, it seems like it might be double the amount that was available for the NES Classic on day one, which from what the buzz on this thing is and after what happened to the NES Classic, that's probably not enough.
Not
by a long shot. I firmly believe they could have sold more than three times the number of NES Classics that they sold.
They still could.
I mean, that's absolutely.
It's like there's a lot of stuff with the NES Classic and the Super NES Classic that we just don't know because like we're not manufacturing these things. We don't know how it works. Mm-hmm. Like what we do know is that Nintendo is an outrageously conservative company to a fault. I mean, like, I've tried to figure out what the hell happened with the NES Classic, and they got caught with their pants down. They did not think it would be as successful as it turned out to be. And it wasn't as easy as just like, all right, we're going to turn this to three times the amount, and we're going to make them all. Like, they had, I mean, they were working on making the Switch at the same time, and there's a limit to how much manufacturing capacity that they can have, and if they take on too much, then they will have all this excess manufacturing capacity that, after the NES Classic fad dies down, they're going to be stuck with all this excess stuff. And once, you know, demand and supply finally meet in the middle, then you're going to be stuck with all these extra NES Classics just sitting on a shelf, not being able to add any game sales on top of that like you can with a 3DS or a Wii U or a Switch. And they'll just sit there and die and drop in price and lose money.
I have a real hard time with a lot of things that happened with the NES Classic, but one of the things that really drives me nuts, and they did make some motion to get ahead of this for the Super NES Classic, was if you have a product that's getting the buzz and the hype that the NES Classic did, but you have always intended for it to be a limited edition product, you should put that on the package. You should put that in the press release. You should say something so that people understand that there is a definitive and rapidly approaching end date to their chances to get this product. I really wanted them to say limited edition in the Super NES Classic press release, or even put it on the box, and they didn't. They only clarified it when asked by a major publication.
They
I forget
didn't
which one.
Even clarify that yeah, to IGN like retailers the... or anything. Like nobody, yeah. like retailer. I mean, we were like, yeah, we'll get more, and then I guess no. I mean, it was.
Well, I feel bad. So there were a lot of those companies that had like the third party controllers for it. And
other accessories, they
still sell carrying cases at Target.
Mm. So I have. I mean, I can. I'll talk about it because the review did go up. Of like, I think it was MyArcade was the company, but I got it. The controller was not great, but I got that back. I think it was like December was when I got the copy of the controller, and I was like, you know what, I don't see the value in writing a review right now because no one can buy these damn things. Like, I'm gonna wait to post this review until like they're easier to find. I didn't post the review until like March, and then I felt bad, but it was just like I didn't see the value in posting a review for something that like nobody could even find.
Yeah.
So, I finally posted that review, and then like 2 weeks later, they announced that they weren't going to make any more after a certain point. And then I heard back from that company basically being like, so we got all these controllers. Do you guys want to do a giveaway to get rid of them? And I'm like, I don't even know if I see the value of that, because what are these people going to do with these controllers?
Yeah.
Well, you can play Wii games with them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you can go back to your old system that Nintendo just old yellered.
Yeah, I just feel like if it's a limited edition product, you should be upfront about that. Yes. And I'm glad that they've said so much, because honestly, I feel like when they came out and said that they never intended for the NES Classic to be a long-term product, the cancellation makes more sense. They probably had contracts in place for manufacturing to a certain number of months.
Yeah.
And then the reception surprised them and they extended that contract. But I think when you look at it under the lens of, oh, well, they were only going to make X and they ended up making twice as many as X, then it almost looks like they come off as being generous because they gave far more people the chance to get one than they had initially intended. The problem is that they never communicated that there was any, and there was never going to be a definitive end date to the marketing of this thing, to the production of this thing. And I think after all of this, that's what rubs me the wrong way about the NES Classic. And I'm glad to see them get in front of that a little bit on the Super NES Classic. I still wish they would revisit the notion that it's a limited product. I still think it's absurd that they're going to make this thing so hard to find. And they could make twice as many as they made last time. I'm still never going to be able to walk into Target and find it. And I still refuse to buy one until I can walk into Target and just come across them. Mm. I don't need to play these games again that badly. I would love to have the thing. It's a beautiful piece of tech, and a fun way to play those games again. But I don't need one bad enough to wait in line. I don't need one that bad. I will buy one when it is convenient to buy one. And if it's never convenient to buy one, I can't be bothered with it, honestly. Also, I have to presume that they're going to put out Star Fox 2 on Switch at some point.
They better.
I see there's some weird wording with how they've been kind of, I guess, pitching the Super NES Classic, is that technically Star Fox 2 is an unlockable secret game. It's not like that. They refer to it, there are 20 plus 1.
That's so weird saying that.
Yeah.
Just say 21.
Yeah. But I think, like, that wording is pretty consistent across everything they've said about this, that it's 20 games plus a bonus game.
Yeah.
So that does raise a little bit of a concern to me that I don't know how easy it will be to see Star Fox 2 be released on its own if they're kind of going out of their way to present it as like a bonus thing in the Super NES Classic as opposed to just saying it's a game on this thing.
Maybe it's just to draw some extra attention to it. That, I mean, maybe that's stupid, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's probably just because like it's never been released before, so it's like instead of just throwing it in with all the rest, make this one slightly more special. So you have to actually
you have to earn it,
so you know that it's special.
Because you don't deserve Star Fox 2, Neil. You got to work for Star Fox 2.
You beat that first level of the first.
Yeah, you need to beat that first level.
The human race has been working for 22 years to earn the right to play Star Fox 2, and we just barely got there.
Okay. Can we just, before we get back to like criticizing Nintendo and how they're handling all this stuff, like, how amazing is it that Star Fox 2 sat on a shelf for 22 years? Like, we had like the weird alpha versions to play through, but like, there is a finished version of this game that was ready for release, finished, mastered, tested. Like,
there was,
and we're going to play that game 22 years after it came out. Like,
there's probably some guy sitting around going, okay, you know what? As soon as that patent expires on that effects chip, we're selling this thing. We put too much money into it. But
that's what happened, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the patent. Yeah, like the patent went up on the effects chip, and that's why this stuff. That's for the original Star Fox, for Yoshi's Island, and all the other effects games. They can all be released now, which is awesome.
Because I think I saw some, like, I think it was some outlet got Nintendo to respond about like why Star Fox and Yoshi's Island now, and they're like, oh, we figured out the emulation. And I have a feeling figuring out the emulation is bullshit. Like, no, we don't need to pay royalties.
Yeah, no, it's...
I was reading stuff. There's, like, only, like, one emulator, Super Nintendo emulator out there that actually, like, gets the timing right for the Super FX games, like, 100% right. So maybe, like, there was weird quirks that they didn't want to put it
out. It's hard, but, like, that's... Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but emulators are made by hobbyists, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and
Are Nintendo not that good with their own systems?
And I have multiple emulators that I can get, like, at least, like, 99% accurate on Star Fox. Like,
yeah,
it's, that's, they haven't...
It's not much of an excuse, I'm just saying, like...
Yeah, no, it's, I think it's, you know, the rights to the effects chip weren't Nintendo's. They were Argonauts.
Yeah.
And then when Argonaut folded, those rights disappeared into the vast nothingness of buyouts and whatnot. And Nintendo
Did they go to Jez-San at all?
What's that?
The dude at Argonaut who, like, got real mad at Nintendo because Croc was, like, Yoshi was a Croc ripoff or something. Like, I'm not making that. I need to look up this dude's name to make
sure. The story going around was like Argonaut were working on this 3D Yoshi game, and then Miyamoto saw it and was like, this looks like a good idea for Mario.
Jez-San, he was at Argonaut. He was a founder of Argonaut. He worked on Star Glider and then Star Fox, and then then Argonaut died. But he made he's at Ninja Theory now, I think. That's interesting. But yeah, no, like, he made, like, Croc or something, like Quest for the Gobos or whatever the hell. And I think he claimed years later that it's like, Nintendo stole ideas from me. Which might have been true, but, like, you know, I played that Croc game as a kid. It wasn't very good.
No.
But they did make Buck Bumble, so, like, we're cool.
All is forgiven.
I don't mean any harm. Yeah, that... But you didn't make the theme song. I'll say this because I doubt that guy will ever hear it. I found the composer for Buck Bumble and I emailed him like 5 years ago and like was just like, Oh, so like what was like the, you know, musical influences and everything on Buck Bumble? Like, how'd you do it? Like, how you used to work in games? How come you don't? And like he answered, and then I was just like, oh, like, can I write an article about this? And he's like, no.
No.
He probably like went on to write like beautiful grand operas, but all everybody knows him for is the theme song to Buck Bumble.
I mean, but the theme song for Buck Bumble is like, that's like winning an MVP when you're 23. Like,
oh, it's the pinnacle of human achievement. Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably, it's the best, best music in a video game since the Battletoads pause screen. As far as I'm concerned. Stop talking, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
So, going back to a little bit, we'll finish up the talk about sort of the production issues with these classic machines. Like Andy was saying, he's waiting to just be able to walk into a shop and buy it. Like, that's the target audience these things should be aimed at. Like, people that do not know these things exist until they just sort of walk past one in the store. These things are meant to be like a nostalgia play, but like all the people that are the people that are buying them are people like us, which, you know, don't really need them anyway. Like, collectors are buying them.
Like, and I can speak from like anecdotally that like I do know people that are like, you know, like parents in their 40s who found an NES Classic. I mean, because I think you know, we as, you know, the amiibo hunting fools that we are, we think that we're the only people that do stuff like that, but like parents have been dealing with Christmas for time immemorial since commercialism rose to power. They know how to like call stores and find out when shipments are coming in. Like I know a couple people from my day job that like, you know, like a mom in her 40s who, you know, went to Target right when it opened and got an NES Classic for her kids for Christmas. And I've talked to her many a times about how it's like, oh, we got really stuck in Zelda 2. And I'm like, why are you playing Zelda 2? There are a lot of other good games on that system.
Hey.
I like Zelda 2.
We need our Zelda 2 remake. Now that Metroid 2 is happening, we need the Zelda 2 remake. Put Grezzo on it.
It's the final Horcrux. Yeah.
Then they can release more copies of the NES Classic when that happens. That's how they'll unlock the full power.
Neil, you and I have talked quite a bit offline about how it seems like they may not even be doing a virtual console on Switch at this point. And I've put a lot of thought into sort of how they seem to be rethinking how they monetize their classic games with these classic editions. And it really makes me wonder, like, what the future is for being able to, like, I honestly at this point am convinced virtual console on Switch is not going to happen. I don't know that that's 100% true, but that's sort of that's what I believe right now. That's what I'm leaning towards. So if this is a limited edition product and it's done at the end of the year, unless they decide to keep going until April again. Do you guys think that this product and the NES Classic as a product, do you think that says anything about virtual console and Nintendo's approach to selling old games? Do you think they're going to, do you think that they're rethinking this, or is virtual console just a delay because they haven't figured out the emulation on Switch or some other weird thing? What do you guys think about that?
100% they're rethinking it. I think that virtual console started off really, really well. And I have talked to people who like have worked at Nintendo about the process of, so, I mean, if we go back to, you know, 10 plus years ago when Virtual Console launched, which it's been, we're almost 11 years into the launch of Virtual Console. We found out about Virtual Console 11 years ago. When Virtual Console launched, I think it was a huge success. And that kind of built because we had those Game Boy Advance NES Classics game that I think sold better than they expected. So then there was the Virtual Console service on Wii that did well, you know, had that wide variety of systems, lots of games, constant, like, couple games a week, every week. Like, that was a highlight of my week, was seeing what Virtual Console games were coming out that week, because it would either be, like, a Nintendo Classic, some TurboGrafx game that I never heard of that was actually pretty good, like Genesis games, N64, Super Nintendo, like, it was a wonderland.
I mean, do you guys remember when they first demoed the Virtual Console on stage at E3? It was magic. Like,
yeah.
They pulled out their new system, and after they were done playing tennis or whatever, they started playing Mario 64. And I lost my mind. Like, that was such an amazing, I mean, it wasn't like a novel concept or anything, but the idea that they're going to be selling their back catalog on their new console was incredible. But I mean, clearly their dedication to supporting that over the years and anchoring it to a service they conceived of in 2006, or probably before then even. Yeah, it just feels like the fact that they're still selling Virtual Console games on Wii U is almost, it just feels like an afterthought at this point.
Yeah, I mean, so Virtual Console had a year and a half in the sun, and then WiiWare came out. And from what I've heard, a lot of the logic internally at Nintendo was, oh, now that there's original games on the download store, no one's going to care about Virtual Console. And if you'll recall from 2008 when WiiWare debuted, I know, like, I think, I mean, it was probably a very small crowd, but I remember being very vocal and mad about this. But, like, people were like, what the hell? Like, Virtual Console isn't getting the focus anymore. Like, yeah, okay, like My Life as a King is pretty cool and all, and, like, World of Goo is great, but, like, you know, give me more Virtual Console games. Mm-hmm. And from what I heard, Nintendo was taken aback at the response to that. They didn't really understand, like, people, there were new games to play. You didn't have to play the old ones anymore. And, I mean, the lines were already in place for Virtual Console to keep on getting more things. The systems were emulated on it. It kept on happening. But you kept on seeing these kind of, like, half starts with Virtual Console, where they would announce Virtual Console Arcade at, like, GDC, and then it would kind of just disappear into the ether after, like, four games came out on it. And it was, like, all Bandai Namco games and not Donkey Kong for some asinine reason. But then that was Virtual Console on Wii, where it was a success that they then downplayed and then didn't know what to do with it. And then on 3DS, I mean, they did a lot of good stuff with Game Boy, and I think that was kind of the beginning of the end, because I think a lot of the reason, outside of the fact that I think you realize that maybe there weren't as many good Game Boy games to put on the Virtual Console. I mean, there are tons on there, and it's a great resource if you ever want to dig up an old Game Boy game. Like, they have a wide breadth of games you've heard of and games you've never heard of, like Avenging Spirit's pretty cool. But I don't think 3DS Virtual Console did quite as well, except for the Pokemon stuff. And I think the same thing happened with Wii U Virtual Console, where, you know, they added DS, they added Game Boy Advance, and I mean, that could be argued that that failed because the Wii U failed, but I don't think that was as strong of a seller. So when they were prepping the Switch, I think Virtual Console was something that they were kind of planning for, but it wasn't a priority. Which, I think that, regardless of whatever happened with the NES Classic, we probably wouldn't have seen Virtual Console at launch on Switch. Because they did mention it. They mentioned it by name at that January event, and I think there was a press release when they announced, like, Shovel Knight and Fast RMX were coming out on the Switch eShop on day one, that they said, like, oh, we're going to talk more about Virtual Console later. That was the last time they've ever mentioned the name Virtual Console in any official capacity on Switch. And I think that that's a lot in response to the NES Classic, because they've been kind of floundering with what the hell to do with all these retro games. People don't really seem to be caring about them on Wii U and 3DS like they did early on in the Wii. What can we do to do that? And it turns out that it was called making the NES Classic, because the NES Classic caught them completely by surprise. Now they have the Super NES Classic that hopefully they're not going to fall on their face about, but I think that's kind of unavoidable, even if they make like a bajillion units day one. And now we might have like the quote unquote NES flicks when they have their online service. And
I have such low expectations for that classic.
Oh my God. Selection. Like I'm kind like people are all excited for it, but I have faith in Nintendo to do a lot of things. Making like the Netflix for retro games work, that is not one of them. I have such little faith in them doing that right. Like Sony had fucking Gaikai to do that, and
I just
PlayStation
don't think
Now was still a wreck when it first came out.
I don't think they're willing to value their games low enough to give you more than about five for $20 a year.
Yeah. Because if it was on the scale of Netflix, where it was basically just like, okay, maybe on some sort of rotating basis, or even like Xbox Game Pass, like I've been waiting to use my free trial of that, but like I love the idea of Xbox Game Pass, and I think it's I think it's a really cool idea, and I have like a 14-day free trial that I'm going to use at some point just because I want to test it out. There's just there are not as many Xbox One games that would necessitate me having a monthly subscription to be able to play a wide variety of them. I could just buy Halo 5 if I really wanted to play Halo 5 at this point. But like I don't have faith in them to do that, and I really maybe I'm an idiot because I just want to rebuy games that I've already bought before, but all I want to do on my Switch is be able to, like, play Super Metroid on it. Like, I've been having this downtime with my Switch, and I just think about, like, how great would it be if I could just, like, play Super Mario World right now? But,
yeah.
But, okay, that's my over of what I think happened with Virtual Console and why they are shying away from it. It's because it kind of faded away, and then they found this new thing that was doing very well.
I really wonder what comes after Super NES Classic. I wonder if there's going to be another line of classic devices, like a round two for NES Classic, or a round two for Super NES Classic, or like I've thought about the idea of them selling Super NES skinned Joy-Cons that come with a cartridge that has all 21 games on it, sort of as a replacement or a follow-up to the Super NES Classic. They could charge $80 for that, and I think that would sell very well, probably. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really believe they're going to do a virtual console. And if they do a virtual console, I fully expect it's going to be kind of like the Wii U one, but with fewer games. Which is to say, kind of like the Wii one, but with substantially fewer games.
I think a Switch virtual console could do well if they, like, cause it's important to note with the Wii U virtual console that, like, the emulation on Wii U was bad. Like, and I think, yeah, like, for horrible. Me, like, I bought a lot of Virtual Console games when they first came out on Wii U, and then as I saw that emulation more and more, I just kind of said, you know what? I'll just stick with the Wii versions of these games that I already have, because they run better and they look better. So, like, yeah. I think there's an argument to be made that if they can up the quality, I mean, that's the other thing about, like, the NES Classic and presumably the SNES Classic, is, you know, that NES Classic has really good emulation. Like, those games look beautiful on it. And so, I think that there's a potential for, I could see, like, the emulation and the games that are on the NES Classic and the SNES Classic being essentially the start of their library for their classic game thing that they do for the subscription. And that would be, that for me would work. If they can just kind of port that emulator to the Switch, that I think could work.
I think they might also just, you know, be waiting until they launch the online service and launch those, like, you know, NES Super Nintendo games that are going to be online enabled and stuff. Like, those may just pass into, you know, being sold separately after a little while. They just add more games to that as well, so.
Yeah, like, I mean, I expressed this concern when they announced the delay to, or when they detailed Nintendo Switch Online and said BT Dubs is not coming out until 2018. I expressed this concern back then that I was like, okay, so Virtual Console isn't coming until 2018. And then I barked up some trees to kind of figure out, like, okay, what the hell's going on? And that's when I heard with pretty good authority that there was a Super NES Classic en route. And that was also probably part of the reason why we wouldn't see any Virtual Console on Switch, because the retro gaming focus is going to be on the little mini Super Nintendo and not putting those games on your Switch.
But if that's going to be where their focus is, they need to make those systems. Like, they need to make them available.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be like, oh, I guess, like, this is going to be where we put our retro games, and then not let people buy them. Like, that's...
I think we can all be super negative and cynical about it because the NES Classic was handled so terribly. But right now, I mean, like, Nintendo was saying the right things, and the leaks from retailers about how many copies will be out in the wild. Like, I think that September and October are going to be an absolute disaster, because even if you had a million units on day one, you're still going to have scalpers out there. You're going to have people who are neurotic that they're not going to be able to find one. Like September 29th is a day that I don't want to be at any retail store that sells video games, because it's just going to be a lot of angry people. Like, sorry, John, yeah. I know you work at a game store. That day's going to be terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Just get prepped.
Yeah.
Like, fortunately, you'll be able to be playing a new Metroid game at that point, so just, like, hold that close and get ready for hell.
Yeah.
Because people are going to be mad, and they're going to want a little mini Super Nintendo to put in their... To play for 2 weeks and then never touch again, but I think that by November or December, it might not be your vision of walking into a Target, Andy, and being able to just like find one on the ground, but I think that if you put any kind of effort into it, minimal effort, you will be able to get a Super NES Classic in November or December.
Like if you order one, you probably get one a few weeks later or something.
If they can handle it about... I mean, like, the Switch is not impossible to get by any means. I mean, it's... The odds of walking into a store and seeing it aren't great, but, I mean, stores generally get shipments of that system every 2 weeks or so. Like, it's...
Yeah.
If you stick it out...
You just need to call a store.
Right.
You just need to call a store and be like, yo, when you get in the Switches. Like, that's what I've had people in the past couple weeks be looking for Switches, and I'm just like, I don't know, like, call stores and... Everybody around the, or like, everybody who has been like, oh, I want a Switch, within, like, a week or two, they have a Switch.
Right. Well, I mean, there are stores like ours, where, like, you can reserve one, you know? Just ask.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy.
I'm a member of a local Facebook group for my state, Nebraska Nintendo, and I am constantly seeing them post local stores that have Switches in stock. If you really wanted one, you can get one. In fact... One of the things that's crossed my mind as I've seen these things come in stock and be sold out, is this is what it looks like when they're trying.
Yes.
I don't think they tried with the NES Classic. They had a number of units in mind and they never deviated from it. They weren't creating false scarcity, but they refused to pivot when demand was clearly not what they anticipated. That's the way I see it.
I think their hands might have been tied because at the same time that the NES Classic came out and immediately sold out, the 3DS was basically sold out because of the effects of Pokemon Go, and they were in the process of making, you know, like getting ready to produce a brand new video game console.
But I mean, what I will say is
and
that
in the grand scheme of that, I think I would prioritize the 3DS and the Switch over the NES Classic every day of the week.
I don't know that I agree with that, because the NES Classic had more buzz than the 3DS did.
But you can sell games to people on the 3DS and the Switch. With the NES Classic, it is a one-time purchase and maybe a controller. But if we're talking about things that are hard to find, those controllers were borderline impossible to find.
I've still never seen one of those controllers.
Yeah, I've never seen one. I went out the day it came out to try to get one and could not find one anywhere.
I manage a game store and I've never seen one. That's insane.
I've got one in the box still.
But buzz or not, like, the thing with the NES Classic is that there's no add-ons to it. It's a one-time purchase, and Nintendo is a company that operates in attach rates.
But it's like, marketing, you know, too, though. I mean, it's a product that directly puts them in minds that have not thought about Nintendo for a very long time. It is an outreach program to people who played NES and then moved on to something else, either a different brand of video games or stopped playing video games entirely.
On that note, it's still successful, though.
Not if they can't buy it. Then they're just pissed and they forget about it.
Everybody's talking about it. Like, yeah, I saw across the board when the Super NES Classic, like, was announced, like every site reporting it, like, those articles were the top trending articles on those sites. Like, people gave a crap about the Super NES Classic even after all the garbage with the NES Classic. Like, the buzz and hype is there, even if it was...
Because it's a good product, and people want to give them money for the thing that they are making. I mean...
They need to let them give
them money. Their job is to make things for people to buy, not to... Sorry, I'm getting... mad already.
but for
as cynical as I was when the NES Classic did its thing, and I wrote that editorial, and I got
a great
some
editorial, by the way. Watch,
I got some angry comments on my YouTube version of it.
Yeah.
I stand by what I wrote. I've calmed down about it, but I will say that, like, I'm actually pretty optimistic about the Super NES Classic. They've clearly made some changes. First of all, they've raised the price $20 by including the second controller, and that's two good things, because one, it reduces the manufacturing demands on them. They don't have to manufacture a controller separately and sell them separately. And two, raising the price from 60 to 80 reduces that like impulse purchase for people who don't really want it as bad as everyone else. Yeah.
It could be a little bit more of a, you know, or at least, I mean,
you have to really want it this time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's weird to be like, oh, like raise the price and make it harder for people to get. But in this case, that's a good idea.
They're going to have it on the market months before Christmas. They're selling substantially more than they made before. Yeah. And they've come out ahead of time and said, this is a limited time thing, FYI. So, I mean, they've made multiple decisions already at this point that give me hope. Also, I mean, I don't think the nostalgia factor is as strong for Super NES as it is for NES. I think it's strong, but I don't think it's as strong.
But I would argue that the Super NES lineup is, I mean, I know to you, Andy, this is going to be a grave offense because you defend Metroid and Zelda 2 and the original Castlevania and stuff. And I'm not saying that those games are bad. I'm just saying that the Super Nintendo classic lineup has a better lineup of deeper games.
They are games that hold up more today. I will certainly not argue with you about that. Well, they are objectively more, better games.
They're more polished and like, but I also think what you're saying is, I think one of the reasons they may have added Star Fox 2 is because they might have been afraid that the nostalgia value isn't as high as the NES. So including something that has never been released before will push it over the edge to sort of bring it up to the same level as the NES one, hype-wise, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, you said the magic words, so once again, let's take a moment. Think about how great it is that a game that came out, that game that was made and finished 22 years ago, is coming out later this year. And I can't wait to play this game. It looks so cool. Go read some of the stuff that Dylan Cuthbert's saying. Like, it's so exciting. Go look at the picture of him and, like, the staff on the game. A mixture of, like, you know, like, Q Games and people who are still at Nintendo just, like, at a bar drinking to celebrate the launch of their game that they made 22 years ago.
That stuff is so awesome. That's great.
Oh, my gosh.
See, it makes me so happy.
It's really cool how, like, Star Fox 2 is coming out, but, like, it's not like with Earthbound Beginnings where everyone had actually played the same ROM that they, like, eventually sold. With Star Fox 2, like, they're saying, like, there's, like, 7 to 8 months of polish that the current builds that we have do not have. So it's, you know, going to be vastly different.
Yeah, we have an alpha. I mean, there's a big difference between an alpha and a finished game.
Yeah, like, I mean, because Cuthbert has been going around to different outlets. I think we kind of missed our window because I think he's good. I mean, he's still an active game developer, and now he's doing a lot of, like, interviews and stuff for, I think it's not even with Nintendo's blessing all that. Well, I know that in the past, I have tried to reach out to, like, talk to Dylan Cuthbert about, like, Xscape and stuff like that. And he's in, like, Star Fox and his experience with Nintendo, and he'd always kind of shoot it down because, like, you'd have to go through Nintendo. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if when the news came out, he might have talked to someone at Nintendo, and they were like, oh, yeah, go talk to people about it. Like, you have our okay. But a lot of, like, digging into what Cuthbert said is that the alpha that was floating around, it was a year away from being finished, pretty much, and the final hurdle was going through Mario Club QA testing and all that jazz, which is, that's not just testing, that's also a lot of, like, gameplay tuning and balancing. That's kind of like Breath of the Wild is probably a game that went through that, and I imagine that if you played Breath of the Wild last summer in a completed state, there were probably a lot of problems with that game that got ironed out over, you know, that last year of testing and tweaking and tuning. But Star Fox 2, oh my god.
When I wake up in the middle of the night, like, you know, I check Twitter sometimes when I can't get to sleep or whatever. I'm like, I was just so surprised seeing Star Fox 2, people talking about Star Fox 2. I was like, what's going on? Am I dreaming?
Well, I had the day after that, like on Tuesday morning, I woke up and I looked at the internet to make sure that Monday hadn't been a dream. Because it was just so, it's like, there's no way this is actually a thing that's happening. But,
yeah. And you were like the first person I thought about when
I was, news. I was, it was very heartwarming to see when I got on Twitter afterward. Because I was at work when they announced it, and my boss came running out of the back room, and he goes, John, they're releasing a Super Nintendo Classic, and it has Star Fox 2. And I thought he was just fucking with me. But then I got on Twitter, and I had like three people tweeting at me, like, John, Star Fox 2 is happening. And I'm like, good, I've established myself on the internet well. These people know how to take care of me.
The Star Fox guy.
So when we get the Super NES Classic in for review, John, I expect to see you fly out.
Yeah, right. We'll, I expect we'll you to fly the Super Nintendo to me.
I'll send it to you via our wing.
Yeah, good, good.
So that means it might take 22 years to get to you.
So why don't we talk a little bit more about the actual lineup of games. What do you guys what do you guys think about the games that are on there that are not Star Fox 2?
I have opinions on other games. I do not enjoy not ActRaiser.
Yeah.
Like I think that's the one game that I'm mad that isn't on it is ActRaiser, because ActRaiser is awesome.
And that is a game that feels very quintessentially like, Super NES.
Yeah, like that is a Super Nintendo ass Super Nintendo game. And I know like Chrono Trigger would have been real cool.
That game for me is Chrono Trigger.
But the thing with Chrono Trigger is that I think that like we have four RPGs already, and like I'm not going to kick Chrono Trigger out of bed for eating crackers or anything. But with four RPGs, like, I'm okay with no Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, but one of them is Earthbound, and Earthbound sucks.
I mean,
after all these years of people clamoring for Earthbound,
you're
though.
Not totally wrong. But Earthbound is a very unique and distinct, and like, I don't want to say innovative. Like Earthbound is a janky ass game that does a lot of cool things.
It has very good writing.
It is also very quintessentially Super NES.
Yeah, like I mean, I can definitely hear a lot of arguments for Earthbound being if people were to play Earthbound and be like, well, that sucked, I'd be like, oh yeah, no, I know. But there's a lot to love in that game. It's just you need to wade through some shit.
I mean, it's also first party. You don't have to pay Square more money, I guess, for Chrono Trigger.
Though I'd rather have Chrono Trigger than Final Fantasy III, to be honest. But I mean,
that's picking between children,
right? Like, I mean, I'm glad that game's on there, but like, if I had to pick, I would pick Chrono Trigger.
I mean, I think Final Fantasy III is my favorite JRPG of all time at this point, even though I've never finished it or any other JRPG.
I feel like on any list that I would ever make. I don't know what my number one would be, but I can tell you that Final Fantasy 3/6 and Chrono Trigger are like on the same level. Like those are both fantastic games, and really it's a coin flip. Like I think if Chrono Trigger was in it and Final Fantasy 3 wasn't, I would have the same feelings that I have now, where I'm like, well, you know, I wish it was there, but Chrono Trigger's there, so that's cool.
It just makes me sad that like Super Punch Out is on it. But Chrono Trigger.
Super Punch Out's great.
I would just.
It's also. I mean, once again, that's the first party, third party.
Yeah. No. I mean, it makes total sense. I think it's basically why they do it. It's just. Blah. I wish.
I think the breakdown is like it's two thirds first party, one third third party. I don't remember what the NES Classic breakdown was.
The third
but I think
party stuff on this doesn't seem as like, I don't know. It's weird to say, but it doesn't feel like there's as much of it as the NES one. Like, the impact doesn't seem to be as high for the third parties. I don't know why I think that, though.
I think the Super Nintendo Classic, I don't think the third party lineup was as vibrant as the NES.
Mm.
Or the Super Nintendo. Like, I mean, I think, because the NES, when that was out, they were the complete top dog, whereas once you got to the Super Nintendo era, there was a lot more competition with Sega Genesis.
I think the game that's missing that I would like, even though I realize it's almost an impossibility because of licensing issues, is NBA Jam. Especially with that second controller, I think NBA Jam is a very good fit for it. And I mean, they were able to scrub the names from Tecmo Bowl, but that's a different story with NBA Jam because the names are a big part of it. I mean, you can't just have unnamed basketball players on NBA Jam and digitized photos.
That version of Tecmo Bowl that was in the NES Classic was already made for a virtual console. Whereas with NBA Jam, you would have to make this version just for the Super Nintendo Classic. And I just looked at the list. I think it's seven third-party games in the Super Nintendo Classic, so a third of the lineup. There are I did a quick count. I might have been off by one or two. About 13 of the 30 games on the NES Classic are third-party games. Slightly higher ratio.
What do you think about having only, like, 21 games on the Super Nintendo? Do you think they could have stretched 30?
I don't have complaints. Like, of course, I mean, I'm not complaining. Games, I mean,
the lineup's
but
pretty good. Yeah, it's 21 games. Damn good games. I mean, yeah.
But what do you think made the decision to not do 30? Like,
they value Super NES games at $8, and they value NES games at $5.
Yeah, because the NES Classics, you know, $2 a game. This one is, including Star Fox 2, like $3.75 a game or something.
I guess you could, like, you could
and
just
you have the second controller here too,
right? So.
Yeah.
Really, it's just it's a really good value, and I think I saw someone do the math of if you wanted to buy a Super Nintendo and all of the carts for the 21
games, $1,000.
Yeah. It's basically, I think it's a little under $1,000 is the estimate for how much it would cost to buy a system and all those games.
And then you'd have to, if you wanted to get a comparable experience, you need to buy a $400 upscaling unit.
Yeah.
Plus, you have to break into Nintendo and steal the ROM for Star Fox 2, and that would be a hassle. Yeah.
I mean, airfares.
That would be a good time.
And invent time travel for save states.
Right.
Yeah. Although, did they mention save states in this?
I'd have to imagine it's going to be the same.
It's a given,
sure,
right?
It does.
I'd have to believe it's a given.
Surely.
We'll be looking
if
back at this podcast.
If they release an emulator box without save states, then I reserve the right to become just as cynical all over again.
You know what game
I... It's okay, I'll never own one, so...
You know what, there is... So we're talking about games that, you know, we wish were on it, but one game that I didn't expect to be on it that I'm extremely excited about is Kirby's Dream Course. Because that game is wonderful.
That game is really cool.
And
played a Kirby game on Super NES. Not a one.
Dude,
I bought three of them on Wii U Virtual Console, and I haven't played them yet.
Yeah. Like, and Kirby Superstar is a great game as well.
The thing about me and the Super NES is that I didn't actually own one until after N64 had launched. I was a Genesis kid from, I don't know, like 1990 to 1996, 97. By the time I bought a Super NES, I was 17 years old and on my way out of high school.
I would have been slightly younger than you when I bought my Super Nintendo. I think I bought my Super Nintendo when I was in high school in like 2003.
Yeah, I didn't play Super Nintendo games until the early 2000s, and that was mostly via emulators and stuff as well.
That's I was kind of in the same boat as well. I did play a lot of, well, I had, like, friends who had Super Nintendo games, because I had one buddy who we play Super Mario RPG, basically just, like, keep on playing it and then finish it and then start it over again. And that's why I love that game.
No wonder you guys...
But I did play a lot of games in emulators.
No wonder you guys say this system doesn't have as much nostalgia for you. I was going to say, I mean, I was born in 1992, and this was, like, my childhood system. So, I mean, for me, this release has way more nostalgic value than the NES Classic did.
I think there's a lot of people that it will. I think, objectively, there are probably more people who started playing video games with NES just because it was kind of the first thing like it.
Yeah.
But, no, I think, you're about the right age. I mean, for me, I got an NES when I was 6. And I played it nonstop until I got a Genesis when I was about 13. So that thing hit me probably about the same age that the Super NES hit you. I love the Super NES. I think it's a great platform, but I don't have that nostalgic attachment to it that a lot of people do. But what I do have some nostalgic attachment to was seeing Super Mario World on demo stations in stores in like the early 90s. That game, I didn't own that game for years to come after that. So the first 6 years for me of Super Mario World were all just me being amazed that that game even like could be possible and looked as good as it did. That game still today feels when I play that game or look at that game, I see that like, I think about that demo station, that same feeling I got when I looked at that game for the first time and thought, that's impossible. That game looks too good to be real. I still feel when I look at that game.
The lineup is filled with games that I think if I were to make like a top 25 games list, there's a good chance like almost half of the games on this list are there. Like, I mean, definitely, like Super Mario World is my favorite 2D Mario. Super Metroid is one of my favorite games of all time, although I think Zero Mission is a better Metroid game. I adore Super Mario RPG. Super Punch-Out's great. Yoshi's Island is great. Super Mario Kart, while dated, is still pretty cool.
Street Fighter 2 Turbo. It's a solid fighting game. I mean that's like
it's really good to have a Street Fighter game on this. I think it's important to do it. But I mean, with all the Street Fighter that has been up in my face on the Switch and everything, and all the fighting
games.
Once
again, though, that game is quintessentially Super NES. Because yeah, absolutely. I remember reading EGM after EGM after EGM, where all they could talk about for about a year was that this game existed on Super NES and not on Genesis.
Yep. Going down the list, like, Star Fox is amazing. Link to the Past. We haven't even mentioned Link to the Past. That's amazing. Kirby Superstar is great. Final Fantasy III.
We've also got the thing with like A Link to the Past and like Super Metroid. Even on the Virtual Consoles, they've only been released here in like the 50 hertz editions as well. So like PAL regions are finally going to get the 60 hertz versions of these games, which is really good.
I was going to say like half of this lineup didn't even come out in Europe, right?
Yeah, no, Super Mario RPG didn't come out. Final Fantasy didn't come out. What else is there that didn't come out? There's probably a few others in there.
Did Secret of Mana came out?
I don't know.
I would say that Secret of Mana is probably, well, I mean, once again, I'm not going to say the words so that we don't go get distracted again, but outside of a certain game, I think Secret of Mana is probably the game that I'm most looking forward to, because so my experience with Secret of Mana is that I played it via an emulator in like 1999, and I hated it. 11-year-old Neil did not like that game at all. I don't remember why. I don't even really remember my experiences with the game. I just remember hating it.
I remember playing the start of the game and stuff, but like I think because everyone used to say, "Oh, it's like Zelda," then I played it and I was like, "I guess, it's not as good as A Link to the Past, though."
I think I wanted more of a turn-based RPG because like that late '90s era was very much my like. You know, hijacking my brother's PS1 to play Final Fantasy VII, you know, downloading an emulator to play Final Fantasy III and like the translation patch for V and stuff. That was definitely the era where I was way more into turn-based RPGs. So I think an action RPG probably pissed me off when I was younger. But it's directed by, Koichi Ishii, who is the director of Ever Oasis, which is, I think, one of the best 3DS games ever made. I'm going to get bold with it because I want people to play it. I completely adore that game. And I have been thinking since I started getting hyped for Ever Oasis, I'm like, you know what? Like, I should give Secret of Mana another shot. And I was actually thinking of, like, I was actually going to, like, crack open my Wii U and go back into Wii mode and get the Virtual Console version there and play through it. Like, but that didn't really seem appealing. But now I'm just going to wait until September and I'm going to play Secret of Mana and try to go back to it. Maybe I'll wind up like streaming it or something too.
You should,
because I think it might be interesting to go back to a game that I just see red when I think about it, and trying to be like analyze what the hell was I thinking when I was little. Like, this game is supposed to be a classic. Like, what's happening?
There's also the thing, like, you should maybe try and like get Lauren to play with you, because like people keep saying that it's way better in like co-op mode than just playing it single player.
Although that does suck. You're not going to be able to play three player in this unless they add in multi-tap. I assume people will probably hack this so that way you can play yourself some three player Secret of Mana. Anyway.
Yeah. What else is there? We're going to talk about. That's pretty much it, isn't it, really, for the whole system? And
I mean, maybe I should have led with this, but at a recent event in New York City, I got to see one. So that was cool. It was not a working unit. It was just like a test, like what the size was and the cord length and everything.
Do they happen to have the European Japanese version as well?
No, they did not. It was just the American version that everybody loves to shit on.
I think it looks better personally.
I have to say, I've always thought it looked ugly, but I really do love the mini Super NES that they released later on. I love that design.
I
hate the way that one looks.
On the other side of my room right now. It's weird. It kind of like mimics the top loader a little bit, I guess. I don't know.
It is fun. I don't know why they settled on purple either. It is like a strange choice. Like,
it's the most American of all colors.
I've always liked the design of the Super NES. I think I'm in the minority though.
Yeah. I mean, I like pressing that the eject button that's a great feeling.
Yeah.
One of the things I appreciate about that controller that never seems to get replicated on generic copycat controllers is how two of the buttons are concave and two of the buttons are convex, so you can tell very quickly which of the two rows you're looking at.
Are they replicating that, Neil, as well?
Yes. And I mean, like the controllers feel very nice. They have 5 foot long cords, so that's cool. It's kind of funny because if you look at the images of the Super NES Classic, the front looks like a Super Nintendo with like the controller ports and everything. But what it is like you pull that away, and then there's the ports to plug in the controllers,
which is cool. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, and I tried to figure out, so it's got the power and reset button function, much like they do, or the power clicks into place and the reset just kind of like you flick it once.
Yeah.
Tried to find out is this going to go back to the home menu like the NES Classic, and could not get any confirmation on that.
I would think they're going to have a button combination on the controller this time, because that was a big complaint. I think they will do that. I think.
Does the eject button push?
No, it doesn't.
Will not buy. Never mind.
Done.
It should just have a dummy button there that doesn't do anything, but you can push up and down. That would be funny.
Yeah, just push it to your heart's content.
I realized the other night that it really bothers me that there's a cartridge slot with no cartridge in that thing. And so, the whole time I'm playing, I'm like, this is a lie. I wish it was concealed. I wish it was just like there was a cartridge in there that just said SNES Classic or something. That would work, yes. But no, even if it was just, it'd be cool if it was an LED screen that showed what you were playing. But even if it was just Super Nintendo or some generic thing like that. But, and I'm probably in the minority of people that will bother, but it's gonna bother me.
And it has
every time.
Small number printed on the cartridge label that tells you which unit you bought out of 10,000.
Yes. But yeah, I've still got my Wii Super Nintendo Classic controller in the box still, so I can touch one right now if I wanted to.
Yeah,
the cables.
You're all set.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I also really appreciate that they made the cable longer, even though they could have done more with that. But still, 5 feet is a dramatic improvement to 3, I think it was before.
Yeah.
Maybe dramatic is the wrong word. It is an improvement.
I'd just make them wireless. I guess it takes away from the nostalgia, but
I think they like having it sort of it's an added bonus that you can still use it on the Wii and the Wii U stuff. I mean, it's not a big deal, but you can.
Yeah,
you want.
That's becoming
a weird
less
added bonus
and less
for
relevant
2017.
Bonus. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the good news is that if you have extension cables for your NES Classic, they should still work here. So,
yep.
Oh, good. We can
and
finally
I think
sell
a lot of
our
those
overstock
were created.
Of those.
Yeah.
So, everyone's buying one except Andy, I guess.
I don't know. I won't make a decision until I don't have to plan ahead for it. If I hop on Amazon and I see that they're available, I will very likely buy one. If I walk into a Target and I see one, I'll very likely buy one.
This time I jumped on the pre-order the minute that they went live because...
Well, they haven't made pre-orders over here yet.
Yeah, well, here they put pre-orders up for anything. You can pre-order Pokemon on Switch right now if you wanted to. Literally, you can. you can just pre-order anything.
I pre-ordered the European version.
Same. That's what I did too.
Yeah. I doubt I will keep it, but
it's a reassuring backup.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, as soon as once they pop up on Amazon, I've heard one of my friends said that he walked into a Walmart and they let him pre-order one. So I'm not sure if they're officially taking them yet, but I may have to go try that and see if that works.
I mean, I think Target had pre-orders and they shouldn't have for the NES Classic. Once again, the word for Nintendo, they're not saying anything specifically about it.
I find it strange that they don't just let them open up pre-orders in America. The NES ones were a month before, right? They opened them.
I think a lot of those retailers are waiting for Nintendo to give them numbers on how many they have. before they just start
like,
selling
they
them.
They must have numbers, like, Nintendo Australia must have given, like, EB Games and that, like, a rough number, because they've stopped taking pre-orders now, but they're up for, like, a day and a half taking pre-orders, so it's kind of strange.
I'm excited to check it out, but I've still never seen an NES Classic in person. To this day.
It looks cool.
I mean, I'm sure it does.
We can play it.
I don't have mine anymore. I sold mine to a guy at work for, like, the cost price, because I was like, I don't really... It was cool, but I didn't really want to keep it. But I kept the controller, the second controller I bought.
We have started to get some of them traded in, just because at this point, you can actually trade one in and make a profit. Assuming you bought it at MSRP, you will make a profit when you trade it in.
Yeah.
I still would probably buy an NES Classic given the chance to pay for it MSRP, but
yeah.
That will never happen because there are more people who want them than there are units that exist. And there are other ways to play these games, so.
I think it's likely as well that every couple of years, Nintendo may make it a Christmas item again. They'll just bring them back for the Christmas months again, like every few years maybe, like bring it out the vault, sort of like how Disney does it. With their movies and stuff.
Oh, I hope that's not how Nintendo handles their classic games. That would be terrible.
I just feel like that would be a licensing nightmare with, like, Square Enix, who is very protective of their back catalog.
Maybe the game lineup changes slightly, like, depending on the
rights. But, I mean, they may have written a contract that basically says, hey, we're allowed to re-release this whenever we want. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, while I like the idea of them re-releasing this, I'm kind of with John that if their back catalog is going to be entirely handled by micro consoles and bundles, that means that the back catalog is going to be pretty shallow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not the back catalog I want. I'll just buy the actual games at that point.
You're never going to get your Fazanadu if you're relying on micro consoles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing is that I do think that... I mean, that's why I love Virtual Console, because I'd see so many things that I would never have played ever again.
Yeah, and the ability to just pick and choose like that is, you know, it's still really the best way to do it, I think.
They should just put the eShop on these classic systems. You know, give you 20-something games to start with, and then you can buy more if you want them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been saying that for a while. What I've always wanted from Nintendo for their back catalog is really just a micro console that is Virtual Console in and of itself, and it is separate from their dedicated home console, but maybe cross compatible with it so that you can play your games on the go with Switch or something. But I would love them because I think the implied promise of the Virtual Console that was never explicitly stated, to be fair, but the implied promise was, you're building a library that you get to keep. And because, you know, of the way that games transferred over to Wii U and then the games all transferred over, but then you couldn't use any of the Wii U features until they re-released it. And then you had to buy them again. And then 3DS, they came out and you bought them again. Like, I always kind of assumed that when I bought a game on Wii, there was at least a fighting chance that I was building a permanent collection. And I think now, in June 2017, it's pretty clear that wasn't the case. I will be buying The Legend of Zelda over and over again.
I think if they started again with the Switch, though, it'll be like the ground floor. But like the promise will be that, okay, this time for real, like you buy it once and like, because our architecture probably won't change for a few generations, you're going to be able to keep it for like, forever, like, and just transfer it amongst like the new consoles and stuff.
I can't see them making that promise at this point, because making that promise sort of admits that they've been doing it wrong, and I don't think they would ever come out and admit they've been doing it wrong.
Or maybe they won't explicitly say it, but like that maybe what happens, like. I don't know. It's too hard to say.
I'm certainly not holding my breath. At this point, I think the days of them even selling a la carte back catalog games are over. But I've always wanted like a separate mic, like a dedicated platform. But I think the problem with the idea of a dedicated platform with an attached virtual console shop is that what that implies is that they're putting more resources towards serving up their back catalog. And what is actually happening is they're putting less resources toward that, it seems. So.
See, I want the Switch to be that console because it's perfect for it. whether as like home for like home games or like the GB, like Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance games, it is like the perfect virtual console machine if they would put virtual console games on it.
It really would be. Instead, I'm playing Super Metroid on my 3DS. Long live the 3DS.
I just can't. I don't know that I can stomach another like drip release schedule at this point.
Yeah, I wonder if it's also possible that Nintendo will just be like, okay, we're just going to worry about our own personal back catalog, and then say to third parties, oh, you can just make your own collections and put them out if you want to, or like just put them out like Neo Geo, games have been, instead of trying to curate multiple companies' IP.
Well, I mean, they didn't even try to put out, like, Genesis games on Wii U, so...
Well, Sega didn't want to, I think. That's the thing. They didn't want to do it. I mean, didn't they pull the licenses off the Wii Virtual Console as well?
Did they?
I don't think you can buy Sonic the Hedgehog and stuff.
They pulled, like, certain systems, I think. I think the Genesis stuff is still there. But yeah, they pulled some stuff off of there.
Some of it's gone, I think. Hmm. The rights have lapsed now, but... Anyway, I think we've spoken long enough and we're sort of starting to go around in circles. So thanks, guys, for coming on Connectivity. It's been good to talk to all of you, actually. I mean, I haven't spoken to you, any of you guys like in person for quite a while, so it's pretty good.
Been fun. I miss you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I have tried to get Neil to come on for a while, I'm a busy man scheduling and Neil's, Neil's a busy guy.
Yeah. I'm like spread out on multiple podcasts. Got a Patreon to run. I got a website to run. Go to patreon.com/NWR. Support us. Make it so I'm not stressed out.
It's only so much Neil that can go around.
Yeah. Clone me.
We need a mini Neil.
maybe we don't need that. We already saw those movies.
I didn't really think that through. I didn't imply you'd have a kid or anything.
Well, I mean, I was thinking more like super dated to like Austin Powers, but your take's probably better.
We just have to wait 15 years also for them to be self-aware enough to talk about stuff.
You can't get mini Neil until Neil is nostalgic.
I mean, how long has Neil been around now? It's getting close.
Yeah, I mean, website. I was going to say, if we're going, like, I mean, I date back to, mid-NES era, so...
No, I just mean, like, the Neil from the website.
You can make a Super Neil classic.
I liked Neil before he was cool. That's all I'm saying.
Just, but I mean, I might be really hard to find in stores, so...
You'll only be available for a couple months.
Yeah. And then I'll be taken out back and killed. That's what they do. That's what they did with the NES Classic. Like you can, the NES is actually we're breaking the law by even talking about it because it doesn't exist anymore.
I'm so mad that they lost the mold to the NES Classics.
Alrighty, so thanks everybody for listening. You can, if you really want to, I mean, we don't get many of these, but if you really want to, you can email connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, or you could even just send a message on Twitter, which is @connectivity_NWR, or you could just throw something in the talk back and we'll probably mention it if it's like, meant to be like a question or something. So if anyone feels like doing that, that'd be really great. If not, well, we'll just keep on trucking along as we have been for a while now. So thanks for listening and we'll be back soon with another episode. Bye guys.
Bye.